Hello, hello, welcome to the YouTube Tea Break podcast.
Yeah, that happened. So I recorded a 20-minute podcast for you all, and it all recorded like that. So lesson learned, make sure you put your headphones on when you press record. So this is going to be round two of that podcast. I know it doesn't really matter to you guys, but it does to me. But enjoy. Hello, hello again, and welcome to the YouTube Tea Break podcast. We are dedicated to growing your YouTube channel and brand organically. We promise we'll help you grow your brand one video at a time. Now, before we begin, I really appreciate a 5-star rating on your podcast player, and also some words, some nice words. It does help us. It doesn't really take that long to do. Do it on the bus, you know, do it on the train, do it as you're walking, even if it's a load of rubbish, like blah, 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 blah. That's fine. It doesn't really matter too much. I just want to, it really helps us out. It really helps us out. So if you can do that for us, that's all we ask for. Because of you guys, we've now got ourselves a sponsor, which is awesome. The lovely folks at Riverside.fm, they run an amazing bit of software, which is all browser-based, or it can be standalone if you want it to be, where you basically have an interview. You interview somebody for a podcast or YouTube or whatever it wanted to be, and I interview my side, and it's a remote interview, it goes to somebody else. And what happens with Riverside, it's really good. It's not like Zoom. I mean, it's got the good, it's quality enough like Zoom, but actually the quality is better, because what happens is you see the person on the screen and that's all good, same as normal as what we're used to. But what happens is it uploads as you record, which is really clever, because what it's doing, it's uploading footage and audio from your interviewee natively off their camera and their microphone that they've got plugged in. So, and you've got yours natively done. So what happens is you get perfect image quality from here and from where your interviewee is, which is amazing. It's not like with Zoom, where you basically sort of record the screen and you might get the odd Wi-Fi interruption. It's always Wi-Fi, which goes down. It's not that. It will get, even if you were to break up just for a second or whatever, or somebody else does, you won't see it in your finished video. Does that make sense? So you're literally getting perfect video from them, perfect audio from them, and your perfect audio and your perfect visuals goes into a cloud-based system. You then download that and you edit away, and it even makes little clips for you. It's incredible. Honestly, it's incredible. I'm genuinely impressed by it. You can do vertical clips, you can do horizontal clips, it can be YouTube's YouTube centric, LinkedIn, even does annotations, the on-screen captions, even does them. It's all AI driven, and you can change things as well. Honestly, I promise you, if you are into that sort of stuff in terms of interviewing people for your podcast or for your YouTube channel, this is a brilliant way to get the best quality. Because, you know, when you interview people, it's never the best quality because it's probably coming off somebody's 1998 PC. So, you know, but at least you can get the best quality from the setup rather than, you know, sort of filming it off the web, as it were, where there's going to be interruptions. Anyway, enough of that. There's a link in the description, and I'm trying to find a discount code. Hopefully there's one inside that link. I don't know. You have to bear with me. But apparently there is. But if you try that, there should be a discount code, and it does help us out. It gives us about, I think, $30 or something like that, which isn't much. But it does help us, and I want to be transparent with you guys, but I promise you that is a really good tool for interviewing, especially if it's a more remote style interview. So yeah, I use that with Callum McIntyre. Callum McIntyre is our next episode, and we've done this whole interview. It's a video. It's going to be a video based one, but I've got to set up the channel and stuff yet for that to go out on. But Callum McIntyre and I have had a very similar path. It just so happens that he actually lives in the village that I grew up in, which I had no idea. And we didn't discover that on the podcast itself. But he is a YouTube analyst and a channel consultant. And he and I have had a very similar career path, career trajectory, if that's the right word. And it's a really interesting, his insights into what he is doing and his bit of his background. So I urge you next week to stay on and have a listen to that podcast as well. Anyway, on to this one. How do you know if the video that you've just uploaded to YouTube is any good? So there's a few categories here. So I think there's five categories that I can think of when sort of analysing this question. Just so you know, I had a question sent via email. So info@projectgreenproductions.com. That's info@projectgreenproductions.com. And somebody asked about this, basically asked this very question. And it's a good question because they sort of assume that it's all based off views and maybe some likes. And as we all know, there's a lot more to it than that. But, you know, it's a good place to start, isn't it? And you sort of forget, you forget what you know and what makes things good and whatever. I mean, for me, I always think quality of the video needs to be high, but that's just my, it doesn't need to be, but that is just my, I couldn't let an inferior sort of video go out. But let's turn to views here. So views, a bit like subscribers. What's the expression? All for show and not for grow or something like that. Anyway, actually, that's subscribers. But views are important. Yes, completely with you. So it looks really good. If you have, this is one client who I'm working with, just started working with, and they started with tens of views. And then now we've been working for a month or so. Now it's turned into a few hundred views, and which is great. So I'm hoping in the next month or two, it will turn into the few thousand views. It gradually grows. And so we'll see what happens with that. But they're really pleased that they get, once they hit the 200 threshold, they were really pleased with all the work we've done. And, you know, and I haven't done much. I've just sort of pointed, well, this is what we need to do, and well, this is what you need to do, and all that sort of stuff. But it's showing it's the fruits of its labor. So they think that video is really good. And it is. The quality hasn't changed. The topic hasn't changed. But in terms of their overall message on their YouTube channel, but their views have gone up. So they are really finding that really positive. And I am too. I think it's really great. But as we all know, it's not all about views. I once had a client who had 800,000 views and there was zero retention on it, which is a real shame to see. But I'll get onto that a bit later on. So again, turning to views. Views are really good because they can potentially inspire, because it's public. Views are public. And views are really good for public because if you've got a few hundred views, 1,000 views or whatever, you could interview somebody and say, oh, our last video got 2,000 views. Oh, great. Brilliant. Okay, yeah. Oh, come on, because they expect those numbers again. And quite rightly, they should expect those numbers. So if you have a few thousand views, then that really, on your one of your episodes at least, which you can direct people to, you should get people on your channel, which is a really good way of getting decent content, because a lot of times people want to hear what other people have got to say. So that's a really good thing. But of course, we know it's not all about views because it could be nothing later on. But turning to likes and the dislike ratio, you probably were aware that YouTube got rid of the, it said the numbers of likes and it said the number of dislikes. And YouTube has got rid of the dislike, public facing dislike. We can see it in the YouTube studio that we all have, that we're all privy to if we have our own YouTube channel. But the likes, does help. I'm not gonna say it doesn't help, it does help. But what you've got to be aware of is don't ask them to like something where they haven't even seen what it is they're meant to like. I see a lot of that where people basically say their first 10 seconds of the video is, oh, before we go any further, don't forget to like and subscribe to this video and leave us a comment. Why would they? They haven't liked the video. Why would they haven't watched the video yet? Why would they want to like it yet? Because it'll give them a false sense of I don't know, security almost. If they watch it, if they don't watch it and you've really liked it, why would you do that? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense why people would do that for you unless they are your friend or you just like everything they do. You know, in which case, fine. But just be aware that begging for likes, subscribes, and comments without justification isn't probably the best thing in the world. turning to subscribers again for a second. I've said it before a fair few times. It's not all about subscribers. It's about your view count. Subscribers will come. But don't worry about subscribers. Don't chase subscribers. It's all about your viewing people, your targets' viewing patterns and what they expect to see. As long as they are happy with your view, with your video, as long as you have paid off what you promised at the beginning, you should get lots of likes. But it's no harm in potentially asking for them if there's justification for it. And a lot of times, actually, I say sort of do it more sort of not subliminally, but a bit more. Be a bit classier with it, because people know that they can subscribe and like and comment. They know. So don't go begging for it. I mean, I remember this is a very British thing to say, but there was a show in the, I think, early 2000s called Alan Partridge in the UK. I think he has gone abroad and stuff, so you can, I think the Americans might know of him. But he was invited to he went to a funeral, and he didn't have an appropriate sort of black jacket to wear. Anyway, and so he turns up at this funeral, and he is wearing a black jacket. And you think, oh, great, he obviously found one or whatever. And then he sort of looks around the room. Then he turns his back to the camera. And on the back of it, it says Castrol GTX. So highly, highly inappropriate. But you could, rather than beg for subscribers or beg for likes, you could do something like that. I've always wanted to try that, actually, where to get a printed shirt, jacket, something with either a big like thing on the back or subscribe or comment down below or something, jacket or something, but just to give it that sort of sense of fun and a bit sort of there's oddness to it, which I quite like, but I'm a bit like that anyway. I'm quite quirky at the best of times. But you could do something like that. Or, I mean, I'm editing a video at the moment, which is a self-driving car video. And with the GVs or the general visuals that the cameraman has filmed, they could buy a magnetic subscribe button, you know, from like Etsy or I don't know, it's probably not on Amazon. You could get that and put it to the car, and you could just gradually film that over the car or put that next to the logo of the car or something. So it just gives that sort of slightly playful, instruction to the audience. The other thing as well, which I would say about comments, really important this, and I was beginning to sort of trial this with the client who I was working with for a long time, where we were saying, do you like these wheels? If you do, actually, they remind me of something. What do they remind me of? Oh, I can't recall. Write a comment down below if what it reminds you of. And that worked really, really well. And but the problem is with that, the presenter was very much like, oh, well, you know, I should know this. I said, yeah, I know you know this, but you're making it look like you don't. And he was uncomfortable with that. And I was like, well, just play this for me once and then we'll see what the response was. And it worked really well for that. I think that one time we did do it. And I've actually said to presenters before, be a bit vague or get something purposefully wrong, because a lot of times your audience will know that it's wrong and they will probably start typing, actually, I think you're fine, that is. And that's fine. They've sort of fallen for your trap a bit. Don't do it in a sort of a devious, underhand way, because the word authentic has to come through. The authentic nature of what it is you're doing has to come through. And if you've got that authentic nature to it, it really helps grow your channel. It puts trust in you and your brand and everything else. So make sure you have that sense of authenticity. But you can be playful with these things. So people know that you want to subscribe. People know that you want them to like the video and comment. But you could say, actually, what was the other thing which I did the other day, where somebody was saying, was this the best route? Yes, that was it. Was this the best route we could have gone on? So I put the map on the screen and we said, we went this way, but then there were alternative routes. A bit like on a sat nav. Should we have gone route A, route B, or route C? And people wrote route A because it's got really nice views across X, Y, and Z. And that worked really well. So we're actually going to go for route B today, but, you know, thank you for your comments. We'll probably do that again at some other point. And actually, that what that's doing is actually your comments are actually growing ideas for you. You don't have to be like, oh, what do we film this week? Actually, let's go through the comments. Let's see what people have asked for. And then you can actually do that a lot. And I urge you guys to do that with any potential competition. I'm not a true believer in, especially in the YouTube space, you've got competition, as it were, because you are so unique, the way you do things, the way you are in front of camera, the way your brand is looked at. There isn't really competition with YouTube, as it were. Maybe your product, yeah, fair enough. There's only a certain amount of originality you can have with that. But YouTube, everything is unique. So just bear that in mind. So we've gone through the views and the likes, dislikes, and we've touched on comments as well, and how comments can really help your brand grow, get new ideas, and just engage with the audience. I remember actually one time, sorry, going back onto comments, there was one time where I think we should, the bigger you get, the more you don't want to interact with your commenters. And I sort of get it. But you really should. For 24 hours, 48 hours, don't go back to every single comment. I mean, it depends on how many thousands of comments you get, of course, but and how if they're looking for a fight or not, basically, because we all know what keyboard warriors are like. But if you were to comment on everything that people write, then actually that is showing, or even start a conversation with somebody in the comments. Why do that? It's precious time. I know it is. And YouTube is a full-time gig these days, but it's growing your comment count and it's growing your engagement with that video, and therefore YouTube will think, oh, look, there's more going on here behind the scenes than just a surface value video. The worst thing you can do is turn comments off. Honestly, the worst thing you can do, and a lot of brands will turn comments off. That is the absolute cardinal sin of YouTube for brands. Do not do that. Just make sure you have somebody who is there who can speak to your brand, speak to a general public who is an authority on your brand. It's a bit scary, but it's like, and a lot of people don't do, a lot of companies and brands don't do social media because they're so scared of the fallout. Well, quite frankly, make your product or service better. Quite honestly, but yes, I mean, these things are really important, especially for independents. Certainly can grow just because of your comments. The next thing is audience retention, which I'm always on about. You know that if you listen to this podcast more than once, you know that the secret to YouTube is audience retention. Audience retention is so vital. I mean, I've had it before where views have been really high, but retention has been literally zero. And that's really disheartening to see. But the only good thing with that is that the only way is up. But the comments, but the audience retention is so important. So there's a lot of times, I think there's the classic thing of the YouTube hockey stick. Don't, because when you first go into the episode, you have 100% hit rating, if not more, quite frankly. And then it goes down straight away and then it curves into a straight line of nothingness. Now that they call that the YouTube hockey stick. And we don't want that. We don't want that because that shows you've got no grab, you've got no introduction, you've got no interest basically in your video, and it tails off towards the end. So what you've got to do, I've worked with YouTube channels which have got at the very end of the video, they've got 0% up to 60. The highest I've had is 62% or 61.5%, I think it was. Unfortunately, that was an episode which I edited. It's really well filmed. The subject matter was really good, really well presented, brilliantly presented actually, and it was edited quite neatly and quite with YouTube in mind. And that was and I was just lucky that I fell into that episode. But that's the highest that I've seen, and that's been 61. I'll say 62% because I think it was 62.5, 62%. But a lot of times, If your YouTube engagement at the very end of the video is less than 20%, depends on how big your channel is, there's subscribers, things like that, then that video is probably doing you more harm than good. I've never said to somebody you should delete a video off YouTube. I've been close, but because you can always retool it, rebadge it a bit. But you've just got to make sure that you've got enough retention there at the end of your video in order that it's not damaging your channel. So obviously the higher the percentage, better. If you're looking about 30%, that should be your normal. That should be normal. Say anything above that, great. But you should be aiming at 30%. Say that's your normal. Anything over 20 is okay. Anything under that, not good for you. Not good for you. Last thing was, dependent on your business model, as I said to you before, go back and listen to the business model podcast episode we did a couple of weeks ago. Really boring if you're not into YouTube, but then why would you be listening to this podcast? So I think it's where I actually start with most of my clients. I said, look, you really need to listen to this podcast. It's 12 minutes long, whatever it is. You really need to listen to how to make your business model. So I can only assume that you're on YouTube to make some money, because that's what everybody does, right? They want this passive income. So you probably heard at the beginning of this episode, I've got a sponsorship deal now, which is awesome. But you can do that as well. You can, even if you don't have any listeners or any viewers or whatever, you can get a sponsor. Just ask them. Just ask them to be a sponsor. And they say, oh, yeah, what's your subject matter? And, oh, yeah, it's this and whatever. And because you've got a certain amount of plays, great. It's a bit like getting an interviewee on. You know, just ask them. And if they say, oh, look, this one's got 800 views, 2,000 views, great. Oh, yeah, we're going to that. And it all helps. It all helps. Because, again, it depends on your business model, but there has to be a way to make money. Things can't lose you money all the time. So there's affiliate links, there's sponsors, there's merchandise, there's getting people through a shop floor, selling items virtually, could be anything. Whatever your business model is, that's what you need to do in order to make sure you make money. And if you are making money with these things, surely that shows a good video, shows that you've explained it well, you've been entertaining enough that they trust you and trust your judgment. You know, if you do an affiliate link affiliate link is actually more prevalent. Affiliate links are great, but it takes a while to get that level of trust that people are going to trust you enough that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Sponsorship deals are fine. They're I don't say they're easier. The only thing I would say is really try and be you. If you're getting a sponsorship deal with a company, make sure that you are the YouTuber. You are the content creator. These guys are not. Whoever they are, they probably aren't content creators, because they probably wouldn't be advertising on your show if they were. Just bear that in mind. Try, if they're really finicky about your wording and how long it's got to be and all that sort of stuff, maybe push back on that a bit. Say, look, I'm happy to use keywords. I will write my own sort of, you could write a script, but most things will be off the cuff. But if you were to write a script or something like that, and it's not like you would do normally. Like if you're doing like a vlogging YouTube channel, and then suddenly you're sat there saying, I think this product is great, because it's clearly not you talking. It's like me now. I'm just talking. I've got a few bullet points I need to talk about in this episode, I'm touching on those bullet points as we go along, but I want it to be more conversational. So, and that's what is formed on trust. And the format will garner trust. So suddenly you've got a different type of format. See, there's a lot of times I see on YouTube channels where they basically do their introduction for 10, 15, 30 seconds. Then they basically stop the episode to say, this week we are sponsored by blah, 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 and there, and there, and it ruins the complete flow of the podcast. Actually, I keep saying podcast because I'm in a podcast on the video, but like with Mr. Beast, the biggest YouTuber on the planet, I just saw his desert island, staying on desert island for 7 days, and he does his sponsorship deals as he's climbing up a mountain, you know, and he's doing it. He's not taking you out of the sponsor. He's not taking you out. He could easily say, do one in his studio and just get that nailed and then off he goes. No, he's doing it at the time, showing how, and he gets the words wrong sometimes, but it's fun. It's more interesting than a sterile sterile advert that you've got to put at the beginning. So just be aware of that. Try and have that organic, and again, it's that word authentic feel to everything and anything you do. But yeah, so your sponsorships are a bit trickier. Affiliate links are a lot easier. And if you've got merchandise, wear the merchandise, you know, show them what it is that you've got made. I remember I was watching one episode on YouTube a while ago, and they did the whole video and they were wearing a baseball cap the whole time, didn't think anything of it. And at the end, I got so used to the frame, it was about a 12-minute long video. At the end of it, he said, actually, this cap which I'm wearing, this is my new line of merch. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, because I was so used to him having his hat on that video. I think this guy always wears a hat, but he had a hat on this time that I saw, and he took it off at the end. And at the end, when he did take it off, it looked odd, him not having it on. So he puts it back on, because I've fallen for his trust within that video. So actually, that really worked. And if you remove that, you think, oh, that's not right at all. Put it back on, it seems right. Does that make sense? So it's that deep psychology of consistency, which is really key. So keep your format. Do not alter your format. Please don't, because you're sort of doing everything you shouldn't be doing. You're changing things up for the sake of it. Okay, I think I've banged on enough about this podcast. So even I'm sick of my voice, but then I've done this podcast twice now because the first one failed so badly. So please give us a 5-star rating and a few comments. It really does help us out. And don't forget, next week we've got that really cool interview with Callum McIntyre, all about his thoughts on YouTube as well. So please don't forget to look out for that one, and go back to the recommended podcast from this week, which is the Business Model Podcast. Okay, see you next week. We'll